This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 14, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everybody in the world to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we have prayer meeting. We pray fervently for America, and God is answering our prayers. Amen. And then we pray for one another, and I pray for you. And everybody in the world is invited to come here, especially on the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., beginning February 1st, that Wednesday, 6 p.m., because I'm going to give you lots of love for you. Amen. That first Wednesday of each month, I will not be on the air so that I can devote the whole time praying for you. Now, this won't just be a little prayer. We've anointed and prayed over the holy bench. My twin friend Scott Mercer will be on one side and I'll be on the other. We're going to invite everybody who comes one by one to come up the holy bench. There will be a segment called the Prayer of Healing. Bring your friends and loved ones who are sick. We still have healing. I am a miracle of healing. Amen. And we believe in that. Jesus is the healer. And I'm not the healer, but I know him. And he lives in me and I live in him. So he's here. And then we go to pray for deliverance from alcohol, deliverance from drugs. And then everybody who would like for the Holy Spirit to pray through me for them, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to say, sometimes he operates as beautiful gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, etc. You may come up one by one and you get that personal attention. Now, that's lots of love for you.
Amen.
Now, take this seriously because we're at the end of the age. And now, Daniel says, God's people will do exploits. It's because Jesus is in us. He's the miracle worker. There are going to be signs and wonders and miracles. Bring the people on wheelchairs. Bring them in stretchers. And bring your friends. Tell the drug addicts and alcoholics, we love you. We don't judge you. We love you. We want you to be free of that. And then you get that personal word too. So that's the first Wednesday of every month, 6 p.m., beginning with February 1st. And everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Sunday is 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's at the Produce Place. The one and only The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up, excuse me, on 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, King Saul, the king of Israel, and his son Jonathan, and an army of 600 men, are being fiercely attacked by the Philistines. Now, to fight them, there's a passage there. They have to go through the passage. There are two cliffs on either side, and then they get to the enemy's territory. But at the other end of the passage, the Philistines had put a garrison of about 20 men to block them. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, two will do, the warrior and the armor bearer. Two will do, the warrior and the armor bearer. Now, in the Bible times here, the warrior would be appointed by God to go in faith and trust in God to protect the people of God. But he always had one armor bearer, and the armor bearer would cover his back. He would have the spear, the sword, and the shield. And when the warrior would focus on the big guy enemy there, then the armor bearer would watch out for him. He would see somebody sneaking up behind the warrior's back, he would get them. Two will do. Now, in the body of Christ, all over this world, listen to me. If you're saved by Jesus Christ, you are supposed to be a warrior, and you are supposed to be an armor bearer. You do both parts. Sometimes while you're the warrior, you'll also be the armor bearer. Sometimes while you're the armor bearer, you'll be the warrior. The warrior is that man or woman God has called to go forth and fight the enemy for the people. Why are you a warrior? Ephesians chapter 6. We don't fight a carnal battle. This is spiritual warfare. We're fighting powers of principalities of air, mm-hmm. demon, demonic forces. Yeah. And so we all are facing it. Whether you know it or not, you are in that battle. Okay. And so we fight. But the warrior fights for the people, not for fame or fortune. Amen. The armor bearer is called to cover the warrior's back. The armor bearer is supposed to pray for the warrior. The armor bearer would know any time the warrior is in trouble. They would feel the pain, and they would stop, turn on a dime, and pray for that person. They would pray the word of God, and they pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So see, all of you are supposed to be warriors. We're in a fight here. You fight the battle in the name of Jesus. And all of you are armor bearers, okay? You have to be praying for the warrior. Now, sometimes the warrior turns around and prays for the armor bearer. Most of the time, that's it. And the armor bearer is always supposed to be praying for the warrior. And so, tit for tat. Therefore, two will do, the warrior and the armor bearer.
Verse 1. Now it came to pass that upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.
Okay, the warrior knows when it's time to fight. The warrior also knows there's some battles you don't fight. It's only a distraction to take you away from the big fight.
Mm-hmm. But he told not his father.
Oh, now King Saul is his father. Jonathan loves his father, but he did not tell him. The warrior knows the right people to call to the battle. You love them, you'll give your life for them, but you know that you don't call everybody to the battle. Why?
Verse 2, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah.
Saul wasn't there.
Under a pomegranate tree which is in Migron.
That's why. Spiritually speaking, a pomegranate tree is a tree of life, of resurrection. Saul, the king, did not want to go to battle. He wanted to stay where he had lived, where he had been in his comfort zone. And now you know why Jonathan didn't call him. You don't call the armor bearers who won't get out of the boat and walk on water. You don't call the armor bearers who don't have the sword of the Spirit and the word of God, who will not cover your back. You don't call anybody who stays in the comfort zone.
Amen. Amen.
And the people that were with him were about 600 men.
Now remember, in last week's teaching, those 600 men had no weapons. A warrior does not call anyone, although you love them and you're fighting for them, who does not have the weapon of the word of God, of anointed prayer, and the Holy Spirit. Why? They can't cover your back. They'll be defeated and cause you to be defeated. But you love them. You're fighting for them.
Verse 3. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, weary in ephod.
An ephod is the priest's vest. Before Jesus came, the priest appointed by God would have a priest's vest. In that ephod, there was a device there. It was supernatural. When the Holy Spirit would say, go to war or do this, it would light up. It was kind of human in the throne, and it would say, no, no, no. Now, Ahio is now the high priest, and he's wearing the priest vest. If you remember, Eli was a judge and priest, but he died when his evil sons, Hophni and Phinehas, the bad priests, were killed. And so now we've got Ahio. Now, every warrior in the body of Christ is a priest. Revelation 1, God has made you a king and a priest unto him. But you must have the ephod. Spiritually, every warrior is only going to win the battle if you've got the Holy Spirit in your being. The Holy Spirit is your priest's vest. The Holy Spirit will say, don't go there. Don't go there. Look out. Watch out for that person. Look out for that. There's a snare. And the Urim and the Thummim says no or yes. So to be the warrior, you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, amen, you'll never win. Amen. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. There's a difference between a son of God and a child of God. If you're saved, you're first a child of God, and we love you, and you're a baby. But you're supposed to grow to be a son of God, so you'll be a fighter, a warrior, doing some good, moving mountains, casting out demons.
Amen.
Huh, you like that, didn't you? Me too. Fight, fight, fight.
And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone.
They did not know. The warrior does not even tell most of the members of the body of Christ the fight they're fighting. And they're fighting it for the people. But the people don't understand. They're so busy with themselves and their comfort zone and trying to be very important and trying to just be okay, and they wouldn't understand. They will say no when God is saying yes. A warrior learns. Sometimes you fight alone, but God is with you.
Amen. Verse 4. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side.
Now remember, they got to go through this passage, and they know there's a garrison of Philistines at the end of that. You might say they were between a rock and a hard place. And the rocks are hard and steep and high.
And the name of the one was Bozez.
Jesus is all over the Bible. It's about him. That means shining. On one side, rock is the rock of ages, the light of the world, Jesus.
And the name of the other, Sinai.
That means thorn. In the book of Judges, there's a symbol of the devil. He's the thorn tree. Remember, he put a crown of thorns in Jesus' brow? The warrior knows it's a straight and narrow way that you're walking here. And while Jesus is with you, he's there with you, there's also the devil, the thorn tree, and he's going to try to stick it to you.
Amen.
Verse 5. The forefoot of the one was 6 feet northward over against Michmash.
Okay, one of those steep rocks, in other words, it would actually go to the top so that Jonathan, the armor bearer, could see where those men were in the garrison. It went into the enemy's land. Wow. Going into the enemy's land to take that back, which the enemy has stolen.
And the other southward, over against Gibeon.
But the other rock would go back to the comfort zone, go back where Saul was. The warrior comes to the point. He knows he's got a hard rock to climb here. He can go forward. He can get out of the boat. Or can go back to his comfort zone. And that's where the rubber meets the road. What do? It's time for you to move forward, but you don't want to please, I don't want that level. Let me go back to my comfort zone.
Amen.
Verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised Philistines.
A warrior has courage. Now, notice he said uncircumcised. Before Jesus came and shed his blood and circumcised our hearts, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the men after that, had to be circumcised in the foreskin of the male parts. And it meant that they were God's children. They were in a blood covenant that Messiah would come. A covenant is a contract with God. Now, the warrior in the church, the many member body of Christ, if you're really saved, you have a blood covenant. Jesus shed his blood. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. A covenant is a contract. You have a contract that every promise in the Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, is yours. It's a contract, and God will not break his word.
Amen.
So you see, the warrior is courageous because he knows God won't break that covenant. So you go forth, and you go into the fight, knowing that God's got your back.
Amen.
It may be that the Lord will work for us.
Now that is faith talking. He believes God is for him. The warrior knows if God be for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us?
Yeah. Amen.
For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.
Restraint means there is no limit to God's power. He can save by two or he can save by many. And so the Bible says that in Deuteronomy 32, two shall chase 10,000. Hallelujah. Two shall chase 10,000. Now, I want to talk to you, Church of Jesus Christ, all over the world. We have limited God. He is unlimited. But he moves at the response of his church, his people. Our prayers think he can heal a migraine headache, but you can't heal the cancer. He thinks that you can fix a fingernail, but you can't put a new body part on. We have limited him. You think that he can only save a little town, but he can't save a nation. Stop that, stop that, stop that. It is time for us to take the limit off of God. He is omnipotent power. Jesus said, I have power. All power in heaven and earth is given to me. Unlimited power.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Two shall chase 10,000. Deuteronomy 32.
Verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart.
Now the armor bearer agrees with a warrior. A warrior will never let anybody be their prayer partner who does not agree with them. Amen. Why is that? Jesus says, if two or more agree as touching anything, it shall be done. It's got to have agreement. And if you don't agreement, you cannot win the battle. Okay. The warrior agrees with, the armor bearer agrees with the warrior. They are in agreement. And if you're a warrior, everybody's a warrior, but when it's time, your time to be a warrior, you might not find an armor bearer. But ask God, maybe there's somebody that understands your mission. The armor bearer must understand the warrior's mission and agree with it.
Amen.
Tell me, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart.
He says, look back, I'm right here with you. He agrees, and the armor bearer encourages the warrior. Please understand that when you're the warrior, you encourage everybody else, but nobody encourages you. They just come to you for the goods that God's given to you. Never a word of encouragement. The warrior, although not encouraged, will turn around and encourage the armor bearer. The warrior spends more time praying for the armor bearer than the armor bearer who should be praying praise for the other. But that's the way it is. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, David was an encourager. He and his army had come back to Ziklag there and found out the enemy had stolen their wives and children, burned their homes down. And everybody was so discouraged. All the men cried and cried and cried and could not cry anymore. And then his own army bearers turned against him. He didn't have an armor bearer, and they turned against him, and he was grieving. So David said, I'll encourage myself.
Amen.
A warrior has to learn how to encourage himself. But a true armor bearer, that person called to cover your back, would encourage you. They would know when your heart is broken, and they would call you on the phone, and they would say, I am with you. I hear your pain.
Yeah.
Now, all of you are called to be warriors. All of you are called to be armor bearers. How are you doing?
Verse 8, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over to these men.
Now, that's faith talking. The warrior knows, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we eat the fruit of it. Whatever you say, Jesus said in Mark 11, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and not doubt in your heart, but believe, you shall have what you say. The warrior knows there's power in words. He will not say defeat. He will not say it's too hard. He will not say, I can't do it. No matter what it is, he declares the victory.
Amen.
Because Christ is our victory.
Amen.
We have the victory of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And the warrior knows, Hebrews 11, verse 1, now, right this minute, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the warrior calls forth those things which are not as though they were. He sees before it actually appears.
Amen.
That's faith.
And we will discover ourselves unto them.
He said, before we start climbing this cliff here, we're going to yell and tell them we're coming. Now, the warrior does not hide from the devil. He knows the method of operation. The warrior is very aware of religious spirits that come into the congregation pretending to be sheep and their wolves in sheep clothing. The warrior knows when cancer is of the devil or when COVID virus is of the devil, and they call it by name. Jesus said to the man, demon, what is your name? Legion. You call that devil by name, in the name of Jesus. You demonic force, you COVID virus, you religious spirit, you cancer, you arthritis, you scoliosis, come out of this person.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You let the enemy know, you know. See, a lot of times the devil comes into congregations to separate, to part, and they pretend to be, but the warrior has discernment of spirits.
Verse 9, if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place.
So, he's going to be led by the ephod in his breast there. He's going to be led by the Holy Spirit. He says, when we yell at them, and they say, you don't come here, we'll come to you, we'll know that they're afraid and that we're not to go. That is God saying no to us. The Holy Spirit will give you a sign, okay, don't move yet. It's not time to fight. Don't fight this battle. Now, the Holy Spirit will tell you if, okay. Now, this is a fleece test like Gideon.
I will not go up unto them.
We won't go. That means that we are not to fight them this way.
Verse 10, but if the Philistines say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign to us.
Now, if they say, okay, come on up here, they will know that they are afraid, and they think they're going to be able to hide themselves before we get them. Remember, the Philistines don't know they're just two people. They don't know that two should chase 10,000. The power of a prayer of agreement in two people who won't move from that can move mountains,
Amen.
Can move demons and devils, can save nations,
Amen.
Can build the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines.
Hey, Philistines, the Hebrews are coming. Here come the judge.
And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves.
See, remember, there were all the Israelite army, more than the 600 men, got afraid, and they hid themselves, and they said, oh, they've come out of their holes. Now, you don't have to let the enemy know your strategy. The devil cannot read your thoughts, and he cannot understand the language of the Holy Spirit. It's a heavenly language. So a lot of times when you're going to fight there, you want to keep that away from the devil. You want to pray in the heavenly language to God about that, and then the devil can't thwart that. So see, you don't let the enemy know your strategy.
Verse 12. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us.
Oh, that's the sign. See, the Holy Spirit will tell you clearly. Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will say, it's time to go. He makes it very clear. You're led by the Spirit. You're the Son of God.
I will show you a thing.
I want to tell you something. You come up to us. They're afraid. Those Philistines are. You should be making the devil afraid of you. You know why the devil tries to come and shut up the word of God? Because the devil is afraid of the anointing on that person. The anointing destroys the yoke. But the devil hears the anointed word and the anointing is on a person. He thinks that's Jesus. The anointing means Christ paints himself on you. So he sends people to make you stop. No, you make the devil run.
Amen.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel.
The warrior declares the victory even before the battle begins. Christ in us, our hope of glory. We have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Decree and declare, God gives me power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. You decree and declare that victory. You don't even go with a thought that you can't get this victory, no matter how big, how hard it is.
Amen.
Verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and his feet, and his armor bearer after him.
Now, to fight the battle sometime, it's long, it's high, and it's hard. The way you get to the top and be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, is on your hands and knees.
Amen.
Not only the warrior prays without ceasing, the armor bearer prays without ceasing. You don't have an armor bearer who just prays for you once every once in a while. The armor bearer's call is to pray for you. You are called to pray for others. You're called to be a warrior. Pray, pray, pray. Prayer is a power.
Amen.
If you ever got that through your head, you'd never miss a prayer meeting. Prayer is a power. It is so essential. That's how you win. In the name of Jesus.
And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. Verse 14.
Okay, they get to the top. Jonathan has got a certain number of enemy there. The warrior goes after the devil, the head of the serpent. So Jonathan's got them. But the armor bearer is looking out for the one who's going to sneak up on the warrior's back. He's going to come in this way. He's going to look like a sheep and as a wolf, and the armor bearer gets them. Two shall chase 10,000.
Amen.
Yep,
hallelujah. Two will do.
Amen.
And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, and half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow.
It was a half acre of land I would take half of a day to plow that with two yoke of oxen. The prayer warrior and the armor bearer, in agreement with the word in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can plow down all of the enemy's territory.
Yeah, amen.
You have the victory. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, devils and demons, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. We have limited God. You don't do it in your power, not by might, not by power, by thy spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 15.
Now, it looks like the warrior and the armor bearer are by themselves trusting God. Here's the good news, warriors, armor bearers in the church. All the while you're fighting the battle and praying and trusting, God's got your back. God's got your back. A threefold cord is not easily broken. The battle is the Lord's.
Was a trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers.
Now remember, there were three companies of those Philistines coming against Saul and his army, and three means maximum. But right now, the maximum, that means all of the enemy, they are shaking in their boots. Do you understand the reason the devil attacks the Word of God, the anointing and prayer in the church? Do you realize why he's trying to destroy Jesus and the Bible from America? He is afraid. The devil is afraid. He's a big, bad bully. But we have power over the maximum. We have power over the maximum attacks the devil can bring us. There's nothing that we can't defeat of the devil in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Maximum
Amen.
Victory.
Amen.
They also trembled. And the earthquake.
There was an earthquake. Oh, my Lord.
So it was a very great trembling.
Okay. We're the end of the age, and Hebrews chapter 12 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Heaven will be shaken, and earth shall be shaken. Isaiah talks about the shaking in heaven. It's like a water coming out of a jug, glug, 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 glug. In a little while, Michael the archangel is going to shake the soon coming instead of Christ, fake Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume out of heaven. Revelation 12. He's going to shake him down. He's going to land his feet in Jerusalem. Call himself Christ. Call himself Theosophist, God's Savior. He's going to shake up the whole world. But right now, we're in that pre-time of his coming. Everything that can be shaken now, all over this planet, is being shaken. COVID shook the whole world. Lockup shook the whole world. All this gender rot shook the whole world. Everything is being shaken, can be shaken. And in the body of Christ, he says those that can be shaken will be shaken. And those that cannot be shaken will remain. He's coming to shake up the church, to divide the church, to break the church, to break the covenant, to break the commitment, to break where you're supposed to be. Be careful. You don't want to be shaken out of the church. When Antichrist comes, he's going to look like Jesus and talk like him. Two horns of a lamb and the voice of a dragon. And so, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. That cannot be shaken will remain. Remain in the Word of God. Remain in prayer. Remain in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Two will do, the warrior, the armor bearer, and that's you. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Burson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. It's so fortifying. I mean, just lifts you up.
Helped you, didn't it? Yeah. It helped us all. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Joel 2:11.
Wow.
Amen.
We did not collude. You are led by the Holy Spirit. That is so great. Great, Scott. Thank you very much. Now, before I pray for healing all over the world, my dear friends, we want you to be saved. It's later than you think. Anybody under the sound of my voice, if you're not saved, if you'll pray this prayer and mean it from your heart, God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
I repent.
I repent.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I turn from my sins.
I turn from my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Wash them away with your precious blood. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. And put me where you want me in your church. And use me. To win many souls to Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, for anyone in cyberspace that prayed that prayer, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. There's the death and life of the power of the tongue again. You need to tell someone, a lot of people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that. I welcome you. It's my voicemail. Leave your message on there. When I get it, I will pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. You also may email me anything you want to say, prayer requests or a confession or praise reports, etc. I'll give you that in a moment. Now, anyone who's a new Christian, first of all, buy yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. I suggest the King James because the only one that you can trace almost every word from the original languages in which God dictated it, Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, Aramaic, and Syriac. And then you want to find a church. Go to a church that teaches God's word, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And also where the Holy Spirit is operating and governing everything about that. Where they pray for healing, they operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit because that is the evidence. And where they have a powerful prayer meeting, especially midweek. Go every time the door opens and be faithful there. Now, in your home, you want to find a prayer place, just you. No dogs, no cats, no cell phones, no noise, no music. And you want to pray the Father every day. He's your Father now. You don't say God anymore. You say Father in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't do all the talking. Pray to Him and let Him talk to you. And you want to read your Bible every day. And God bless you. And welcome to the family of God. I'm so happy. I'll see you in heaven. Now, here's my email, shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. I feel led today to pray for achy backs and achy legs. Anybody got achy backs and achy legs? Okay. What it is, it's the lumbar vertebrae causing all of that. It's kind of your lower back there. It supports the back, and the back is weak. And it causes digestive problems, bladder problems, and it causes joint problems. It causes a lack of balance, and it causes your legs to be weak and sometimes tingle and sometimes go numb. So, Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, you know you made the back. O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Lord Jesus Christ, everybody touch your back then. Put your hand, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, on the hands that are touching the lumbar. And let the hand of Jesus straighten out that lumbar. Where it's pinched, unpinch it. The nerves connected, be healed. The lumbar be strengthened in perfect alignment there. And thus let the backs be healed. The shoulder blades be healed. The vertebrae be healed. The bladders operate. The stomachs operate. The digestive operate. The legs be made strong. The legs be equal. No more tingling. No more blockage. No more actual numbness in the legs. Koshakata, in the name of Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ, healing lumbar, backs, and legs. Pick up your bed and walk. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you do not faint. Whoo, hallelujah.
Amen.
You got it. We all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man laid down his life for his friend. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He took all of your sins and all of your sicknesses on his back, and he arose from the dead, and he's come again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together all over this world. Hello, dear friends in all the nations. I love you. I feel your spirit. I'm praying for you. We all get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? No more suffering, no more tears, no more sin.
my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Oh my God, too fast. resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I long. Resurrection song. This is my hallelujah call. This is why it's to you I run. There's no space that His love can reach. There's no place where we can find peace. There's no end to amazing grace. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of a storm, I'm holding on. I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you. In the middle of a storm, I'm holding on. I am holding on to you.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Woke up on the wrong side of the bed, the wrong side of the room, the wrong side of the world. Can't put my finger on the mood. It's not melancholy, anger, or the blues. Mm-hmm. And I love my husband, my house, my job. Couldn't be any better. And really, what else is there? Then I realize I'm forgetting God. It's the root of all my misery. Lord, first of all, how is it between you and me? And you are the vine. Oh, and apart from you, we are mice and men with our fancy dreams of grandeur and no way to get there. And I can think about you now and then, or I can make a mark on eternity. Lord, first of all, how is it between you and me? Oh, how is it between? Something more important weighing on my mind.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Even though God did something for us yesterday, over time we forget how good He is and how powerful He is.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's why it's so great that God's compassion is fresh every morning.
He's not just a yesterday God. He's not just a tomorrow God. He's a right now God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Just when it feels